I'm Bruce Argyle. Thank you for your company this morning. We have our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. And as always, we talk to interesting people and hear interesting stories, which we're going to do very shortly. But a big shout out, first of all, just for a couple of things that are happening around the place. We have the Woodworking Wonders Expo, the WWW, happening at Waratina Lavender Farm from the 3rd to the 18th of September. And you can, well, just go on their website. And, well, listeners, what week is it this week? Do we know what week it is? Of course, many of us have been following the passing of the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, and the amazing queuing that's happening over there in the amazing city of London at the moment. I'm not sure that I could queue for 30 hours. I think I'd be struggling with that. But anyway, well done to those that are. And, of course, we have a public holiday next Thursday to commemorate the Queen's passing here in Australia. We talk a lot about signals, don't we, and watching, reading the signs, I suppose, and things. And I was just talking with Anna, who is our first guest this morning, about signals off air. So I'm going to ask her a question about that in a moment. But sitting here in the studio, which is wonderful because they've both travelled about an hour and a half to be here this morning, I have both from MacKillop Family Services, or more specifically MacKillop Foster Care, part of MacKillop Family Services. I have the amazing Tanya, who is the Victorian Manager of Foster Care. I hope that's right, Tanya. Wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you, Bruce. Wonderful to be here.
Terrific. And Anna, who is the Communications and Media Manager, I think, for MacKillop. Wonderful to have you with
that's
us,
right.
Anna.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yes, and we were talking about signals off air, and you were telling me, I'm going to put you on the spot, because you were telling me about your experience with scuba diving. Tell us about that, Anna.
Yeah, I think the moral of this story is that it's important to explain the signals beforehand, because we were underwater.
Yeah.
And our scuba diver instructor, first time underwater, gave a hand signal, and I thought it meant go around and have a look. So I swam off, and she was not very happy with that, because apparently it meant bring it in, and everybody's going up. So
all right.
It's important to know the hand signals.
If I waved to you during the program or something, rather, I don't want you walking out the door or something like that.
Bring it in, Adam.
Yeah, right. Fantastic. And anyway, I was going to say, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I was going to say, of course, that it's Foster Care Week this week, the 11th to the 17th of September. So we're right in the middle of that, which is really terrific. And it's a wonderful opportunity to talk about foster care and just what's happening in this space. Is there still a need? And, well, maybe you as a listener out there today have thought about it and you didn't really know how it all works. Well, today you're going to know everything about it. And we might just start with Foster Care 101. And Tanya, ask you just what is foster care and are there actually different types of foster care? Can we start there?
Of course we can, Bruce. And I think I'm going to start by acknowledging that we're on Aboriginal land today, the Wurundjeri people, and pay my respects to elders past, present and future, but also our children, Bruce and Anna, because we learn from our Aboriginal children every day.
We sure do.
We do. We listen to their stories and we listen to them, and this is why we do some of the work that we do. But it is Foster Care Week, and I also want to acknowledge all our incredible foster carers who are out there every day looking after our local children. Bruce, there's over 11,000 children in Victoria currently in out-of-home care.
Wow, trying to get my head around that. That's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids, and it's really big numbers.
And it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So across the state, across the country, yeah. Anna.
So in every community, you know, we're really seeking for carers because we really want kids to stay
and we're
in
gonna
their
talk,
community, we'll keep talk, the connections that they've
yes.
got.
Yes. Yeah. What age is Anna? So we're starting very young, and what's the maximum age for kids who might be in foster care?
Yeah, that's right. So it's 0 to 18, although the recent home stretch campaign that's been underway has allowed kids the option to stay in care up to the age of 21 now as well. Many kids are still in school at the age of 18, so it's challenging for them to transition to independent living. Mm. So there's the option for kids to stay up to 21.
Yeah, fantastic. When we use the term foster care, Tanya, it's in some ways it's an old term. I mean, it's been around a long time, but the needs are obviously just as great as they've ever been.
Yeah.
What are the key hallmarks of foster care. We'll talk more about the, you know, what it means and how it works. But what are the sort of key parameters that you think makes foster care work?
Yeah. Well, I think the overarching basis behind foster care is foster carers, so volunteers, families, individuals, couples in the community see a need. They see vulnerable children who need a home. They need a safe place to live. And they say, I'm going to be that safe place. I'm going to be that family who wraps this support around you for the period of time in which they need it. Foster care is not about permanency. Foster care is providing care for the period of time which those children need it. It's about working with birth families and other extended families with the children to keep those connections and relationships together. And that's what foster carers do. They become this overarching support system for our children and for our families. Together with MacKillop, you know, we've got our case managers and therapeutic specialists all in there working together with these families and these children. And that's what foster care is.
I'm thinking security, I'm thinking stability, those kind of words.
They're very good words, and they're words that we use all the time. And this is what we describe foster care is. You know, foster carers provide consistency. They provide warmth. They provide care. They provide routine. And they're there. They show up when the kids need it the most. When kids are heightened or, you know, they might be a bit energetic, that's when the kids need them the most, and the foster carers show up at all times.
Fantastic. We're going to hear all the details about how foster care works and maybe just challenge you a little bit to think about it as well in the middle of Foster Care Week. Well, we've gone one better this morning because we have a couple of the amazing folk from MacKillop sitting right here in the studio, Tanya and Anna. Wonderful to have you with us. I know you've travelled a long way. Wonderful. We're going to unravel, or that might be the wrong word, we're going to look into foster care and all the details and how it works. So maybe we start with what kind of a person do you think you need to be in order to, you know, to be a foster carer? I mean, could I be one? Well, don't go there, but yeah. What kind of a person? Either of you? Thoughts? What comes to mind when I ask you that?
I think this is a fantastic question because this is what we talk about all the time, Bruce, who can be a foster carer. And, you know, there is an element of just loving children and having a genuine motivation to have children in your home, to see past any behaviours that might be presenting and actually go, no, these kids actually need me to be connected right now. And that's what foster carers do. But to break it down simply, you can be single, you can be in a couple, you can have family of your own, you can be an empty nester.
Okay, so I could have my own kids as well.
Absolutely. Yep. You can have your own kids. You can have grandkids too, Bruce. I think the Yarra Valley is, there might be a lot of empty nesters in the Yarra Valley who have some spare bedrooms at the minute who think, yeah, actually, I can do this. I can be a foster carer.
And that's the other point I'll just add to that as well is that there is no age limit for foster carers. You know, if you have the capacity to care for kids and you have a spare room and you have that desire, then you can absolutely be a foster carer. So people who are retired might be thinking, oh, you know, I'm too old. I'm too old now. You're not.
And do I have to sign up for 1 month, 1 year, 10 years? Is there a length of time I need to be committed to?
Well, first of all, Bruce, you're going to go through an assessment process, which is really important. So we say that everybody can be a foster carer, but when we go through the assessment process, we've got a duty of care to look after the people who are coming in to support these children. So we want to make sure it is actually right for you. So we go through that assessment process. Once you're accredited as a foster carer, this is the beauty about foster care. It can be tailored to meet you and to suit your family and what you have going on in that period of your life. So a big question that we get asked, or a big myth that stops people from coming through, is I work full time. I don't have time to be a foster carer. I really want to do it. I've been thinking about it for years. I'm just not sure it will fit in. Find out, because it probably will fit in. And we can talk about the different types of care later on as well.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. So there's an opportunity for a whole lot of us. Probably more of us. There's probably more people who should think about foster care than actually do.
Absolutely. And it's not about another question that we get asked all the time is, if I become a foster carer, are you going to be ringing me all the time? Am I going to have children coming in and out all the time? Am I going to feel pressured? Because I know we talked about the stats before. We know how many children are requiring placements or safe places to live. So that can be a fear for people.
Yeah. I think some people as well you know, they want to go into it wholeheartedly. They want to, they want to be able to say yes every time. And it's okay to say no. You know, if someone says, well, you've got a kid this weekend, are you free this weekend, and you've got plans that weekend, it's okay to say, no, sorry, I can't do this weekend, but I can do next weekend. Yeah. And that's amazing. Mm. You know, next weekend, we have a need then too.
Sure.
So I think it's important to know that it's, yeah, it is okay to say no.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, as Tanya said, there's flexibility. So you can say, I can care for kids of this age range, but I can't do under six. You know, I really need them in school.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of flexibility in the system.
And Anna, you were just talking about weekends. Now, is there a difference between respite care or, you know, short-term care and longer-term care? Just talk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So respite is exactly that. So it's for maybe carers who have kids long-term or even parents who have their kids in care who just need a little bit of extra support. So it could be one weekend a month. It could be school holidays. But it is ideally regular because we like to build those relationships with people, but short weekends or...
And planned, Anna. And planned. Yeah, respite can be planned. We have a lot of shift workers who do respite care around their rosters. So, yeah, it's planned with the agency. And it's also, you can build up a really beautiful relationship with a child having regular respite care.
Yeah.
And also build the relationship with the foster carer who has that child on a longer-term basis.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a beautiful community.
It is a beautiful
community. I'm Bruce Argyle. Thanks for joining us this morning for our Community Conversations program in the middle of Foster Care Week. Sitting here in the studio, I have Tanya, who's the Victorian manager, and Anna, who's the communications manager, both with MacKillop Family Services. And just before the last song, we were talking about respite care, but that's only a small slice of it, isn't it, Tanya? Tell us about the other types of care.
Well, there's really four different types of care that foster carers can provide to MacKillop and to the kids. So we talked about respite care. It's really that fun, planned care where you get to build relationships with these kids. You get to do the fun things. You might take them to the zoo. You know, you cook their favourite meals every time they come. You really get to build a relationship. You also get to build relationships with the other foster carers that are involved with these children, which is incredible.
So you're part of a network. You're part of a network.
Absolutely, and you need that. We've also got emergency care. Now, emergency is very much that. It's very short, sharp types of care. It could be that 2 o'clock in the morning phone call to say that we have a child here that is needing an emergency placement. It could be one child. It could be three children, Bruce, because we don't just talk about children. We talk about sibling groups. But it is that. It's very quick. It can also be supporting another foster carer. So something's happened, an emergency's happened in a foster care placement, and we need to provide a really quick placement.
Sure.
Then we've got short and longer term care. So short term care is where you could have a child that needs a placement for maybe 2 weeks up to 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have longer term care, which is anything from 2 weeks up until the child needs it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce, we need more longer-term carers to provide stability for our kids.
Is that the biggest group that you need? I mean, you need them all, of course.
Yeah,
but
we need them all. So I think when we talk about longer-term care, it's about providing that stability and consistency for a child. If we don't have enough longer-term carers, what happens is children will need to move from placement to placement. So if you can imagine little kids who don't know anyone, Bruce, moving from one stranger's house to another stranger's house to another stranger's house. We want to try and stop that. That's the work we do at MacKillop, but we need longer term foster carers to do that. Respite carers provide a break for the longer term carers, and that's where that marries in really beautifully.
And with the long term care as well, just to add to that, I mean, it's a big decision for people to make to say, oh, so I'm putting my hand up to take in a kid who I don't know them, I don't know anything about them for 2 years, 5 years, 7 years longer. We work with you to explain. We share as much information about the child that we have. We match, you know, the kids and the carers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, you know, as well as the assessment process that Tanya talked about a little bit earlier, there's a lot of work that we do in setting up that longer term placement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, it's not just a kid's going to...
Not a, sort of a haphazard kind of thing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So it is a big decision to make, and carers sometimes move up to long-term care, but there's a lot of engagement that happens with the carers before that.
I was just reading something about Foster Care Week. I'll just read a paragraph out of the paper here. The result of not having enough foster carers means that children are having to be looked after in hotels and motels, in some cases by paid staff on a rotating roster. That sounds terrible. No offence to the staff, but that's not a good situation.
No, it's not, Bruce. And this is where we need to find foster... Children need to be in homes. Children need to be surrounded by families and people that care for them. And it needs to be consistent. They need to know that this is their bedroom. This is where their belongings are. They need to be able to form attachments. That's right. They do need to be able to form attachments. So it's not about quick fixes. We need to find stable homes for these children. Also, we need to find local foster carers for our local kids.
Yes.
Where kids, their only attachment, I'm so glad you brought that up, Anna, because, you know, for some kids, their only attachment or consistent attachment or relationship has been with their school or their daycare
Or perhaps
center.
Their local sports
That's
team.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We don't want to remove children from that. They've lost enough.
Yep.
So what we need to do is find the local foster carers in the region so they can support local kids.
Talking about support, Tanya, what are the supports that MacKillop provide for foster carers along the way, you know, either short-term or respite or longer-term? What are those supports?
Supports is something that people who are considering being foster carers really need to explore and understand so they can make that considered decision. I think the biggest message that we can get across is you're not in it on your own. Foster care is hard. It can be challenging, but you're not in it on your own. You have a team behind you. So we talked about the other foster carers who come in and support you. And can I say, Bruce, no one knows foster care like the other foster carers.
Yes.
Anna and I can sit here and talk about it from an agency, but foster carers.
But you're a foster carer as well, Anna, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, yes. I am, which is great because it gives me a very unique perspective of working both in the sector and as a foster carer. And everything, you know, Tanya's saying is right. Like, it is a beautiful community. You do connect with other carers in your region and you do get to build those relationships. I do respite and emergency. I work full-time.
Sure.
So it's respite and emergency care that suits me and my partner's lifestyle. But we build those relationships. We have a regular respite arrangements with kids and it's wonderful to be able to see them once a month and we get to know their long-term carers. And it really connects you to the community and it's great to see the kids open up with you as they get to know you more and more and give them new experiences and, it's wonderful.
We'll talk perhaps in the next segment about some of the rewards that foster carers get. But just to go back, Tanya, just the supports, I mean, does that include, I mean, if sadly something goes wrong or something like that, what sort of support there?
So the really practical supports that an agency gives you as being a foster carer is you get a case manager. So that case manager is there. They are working with you as the foster carer. They're working with birth families. They're working with other professionals that are involved with this children's life. And they're also working with child protection. We often call them the meat and sandwich because that's what they are. They are that individual person who keeps everything going for everyone. We also have an after-hours service. So when our staff members and case managers go home, there is always someone there for foster carers to be able to connect in with. The other support service, we talk about training. Foster carers need to have ongoing training and learn different skills and understand what trauma is because we know that our children have been impacted by trauma. But we talk about at MacKillop that we have trauma-informed therapeutic foster carers. So you need to have therapeutic responses and care for our children who have been impacted by trauma. And what is fantastic at MacKillop is we've got a clinical team within all our home-based care teams. These clinical services are in there training, supporting staff and carers around how to respond therapeutically.
So the carers themselves don't need to be counsellors or psychologists or anything far from it, Tanya?
No, far from it. We need them to be that guardian who's providing care. That's what we need them to be, and we bring those other supports in.
I hope you're enjoying our focus on foster caring this morning, and I know I'm learning a great deal about it, and it's not quite what I thought it was. It's actually It's really well organised. Sorry, I wasn't suggesting that MacKillop weren't organised for 1 minute, Tanya. It's a terrific program, and obviously there are incredible supports that are provided to foster carers. The bit that we haven't talked about, Tanya and Anna, is what about the kids? What are they like? You know, what rings their bells or whatever? Tell us a little bit about the kids.
Anna, you're caring for the kids. You tell us a bit about what you see with the kids.
I've loved the kids that I've met through foster care. I'm a relatively new foster carer. I've probably had about half a dozen kids
come through.
But they've been fantastic. The kids that I've had come through, and this is the benefit of doing the regular respite or, you know, doing short-term or long-term care, is that you get to know them over time. So when they've first come, they've been incredibly well-behaved, which is quite interesting in itself, because a lot of kids have been, what the term that we've used is parentified. You know, they've come from families where they've had to hold responsibilities beyond the age that they are. And as they become more comfortable in your care, as they have that routine, that nurture, they know that they can let go of those.
And they can be kids again.
Just be kids. And you really get to see their personality shine through, which has been wonderful. But they've come from all different backgrounds, all different cultures as well. Mm-hmm. And it's great because I love to cook. So, you know, I find out what culture they're from and I'm like, right, let's cook a meal from your culture, and we do it together. And So the kids themselves, you know, they're just like every other kid. They're into different things. One kid was super into soccer, another into basketball, another into computer games, you know. So
how long does it take? Kids. Sorry, Anna. How long does it take them to adjust, if I can use those words, you know, to the foster carer's home or that different environment? How long does that take?
Yeah, look, it's different for each kid, I would say. You know, like, we have a general process that we undertake when a kid first comes to stay with us, and we give them a tour of the house. You know, we let them know that it's their house too. You know, we let them know that there's always food available, like if they're hungry, you know, we have some easy snacks available.
Great.
And they generally, in our experience, they've settled in pretty quickly.
Fantastic. Tanya, aside from food, what else do they need? What do these kids need most?
These kids want to build trust, Bruce. So I think, you know, the consistent care that Anna talks about there shows kids that they can rely on you as an adult. And when they do build trust, that's where they feel safe. And without that trust, they don't feel safe. So foster carers need to continue to provide environments that are safe but fun for kids and inviting, and also hold space. So when children are having emotions or they're feeling sad or they're feeling lost, or I mean, they're grieving the loss of their friends, maybe their siblings, their own family, maybe they've been moved away from their football club, Bruce, that we were just talking about. So foster carers hold that space for those children and consistently show up for them.
Fantastic. What we haven't done so far in the program is give a contact point for people who would want to talk with you guys more about possibly, you know, being considered as a foster carer. So Tanya, where would people go if they want even more information, aside from listening to this podcast or something? Where would they go?
Always head to our website, so mackillop.org.au. There is lots of stories on there and information on our website about foster care. There's stories from foster carers themselves. You've got the opportunity to register for an online information session. And can I encourage people to do that, Bruce? Because this is a time where you get to talk to a foster carer. So you can actually get on there. You've got so many questions, Bruce. When people are thinking about foster care, they might have been sitting on it for 5 years, 10 years.
Yes.
They're like, oh, I just don't know. I've got these questions. Ask them, because we will answer them. We will be truthful and transparent about foster care. So come to these sessions, but talk to a foster carer. Also, if you're thinking, no, actually, this is the right time for me, I'm ready to take that step, give us a call, 1300 791 377. You'll speak to Jordan, our online operator, and you'll be able to find lots more out about foster care.
Fantastic. And for those listeners who don't have Scottish heritage like myself, MacKillop is spelled MacKillop. There you go. So you'll be able to find that website, hopefully, Tanya, along the way.
Hi, this is Tegan. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And it's Foster Care Week this week, the 11th to the 17th of September. And here in the studio, I have Anna and Tanya from MacKillop Family Services, and we're talking foster care, everything you ever wanted to know. And Tanya, we might just go back to something you mentioned right at the beginning, which was, you know, the assessment process for foster carers, and we don't want to sound daunting or anything like that, because it's really a way of making sure we've got the right people in the right place or something, isn't it?
That's right, Bruce. It can take 3 to 6 months for a foster carer to become accredited and to go through the assessment process with MacKillop. It's important to know that the training and the assessment, all foster carers in Victoria, no matter what agency you go through, are accredited and assessed exactly the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You want it to take that long, Bruce, because this is a really considered decision for yourself and your family, and people are learning about foster care as they go through the assessment process. They're also learning a lot about themselves and their strengths and their capacities. Maybe they didn't think they had them, but they're there. And this is why we do go through this process. You don't need to know everything to come forward. Remember, we talked before about the motivation and the genuine mm-hmm, motivation mm-hmm. to care for children. We will then train you and give you the skills to enter into the foster care system and to become a foster carer, and also your family. So we talk about extended families. We were talking about supports before as well. We talk about bringing your personal supports in, because you can have agency supports, but mm-hmm, you're mm-hmm. individual people. Yeah?
Yes.
So we talk about
extended family and so on.
Right. Mm-hmm. It does take a village to raise a child. We know that. And it takes all kinds of people to be foster carers. So we go through the training and we learn a lot about why kids come into care. We learn about what their families have maybe been experienced mm-hmm. or been exposed to. We learn about trauma and childhood development. We learn about therapeutic responses.
Mm-hmm.
We also learn about what it is to have a child safe environment. Then when we go into the assessment process, Bruce, we look at how do I, as an individual wanting to be this foster carer, fit into this?
Yep.
And what skills do I already have? And what skills do I need to develop, you know, to further care for children? When we get through that assessment process, you might have come in and thought, yep, I want to be a respite carer and I want to look after children aged 3 to 6. We might very quickly go, actually, you've got capacity to do short-term care. And have you thought about the teenagers?
Yep.
Or have you thought about sibling groups? Because here, you've got capacity, and that's what I'm assessing. The other things that we look at is everybody has experienced grief and loss in their lives. Everybody. And our children have experienced grief and loss. So we want to make sure that you are right in yourself, mm-hmm. emotionally and mentally, to take on this role as being a foster
wow.
carer. Yeah.
Fantastic. It's hard to believe, but we're rapidly running out of time this morning, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the impacts that yeah. foster carers can have with kids and the rewards for foster carers. We might go to you, Anna. I mean, what are the rewards? What are the benefits of being a foster carer?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, I touched on it earlier. You know, I talked about the community that you become a part of. So I've worked in the sector for quite some time, and I've always loved meeting foster carers. And foster carers are just incredible people.
I know that.
But so you really build and strengthen those connections in the community. But it's meeting the kids and being able to give kids new experiences, and they don't need to be, you know, scuba diving.
Yes.
To draw an example earlier, they don't need to be these big, huge things. But, you know, some kids have never been to the beach, you know, for example. It's those sort of smaller moments of when they start to really open up and trust you and really become the person that they are in their personality. That's reward, and that's the biggest
Fantastic.
Reward. And you hear carers talk about that yeah. all the time, and it's 100% true.
I've watched foster carers over the years do, especially during COVID, Bruce. Can I tell you the lengths our foster carers mm-hmm. went to keep our children connected to their family where we couldn't physically go out?
Yeah.
We had foster carers doing Zoom time with birth mum, and, you know, the birth mum was able to read a bedtime story to their
wow.
child where they couldn't do that before. Foster carers are incredibly selfless people.
Yep.
They see the kids first. Sometimes that can be at their detriment, but they do see the kids
yes.
first. They give these kids a childhood. They keep them connected, and they provide opportunities, and that is the reward. If you ask a foster carer, that is their reward.
Yeah,
yeah, being able to give a kid a childhood.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's what it is.
That's a great tagline.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I reckon, Anna. Yeah, fantastic. You can find out more information by going to MacKillop's website. That's MACK. killop.org.au, and there's all sorts of information and stories and, things there, aren't there, Tania?
Yeah.
Tania's nodding. Or you can give MacKillop a call on their 1300 number, which is 1300 791 377, and you'll be speaking with Jordan there, and he'll direct you in the right spot. Can I just say a huge thank you to Tania and Anna? Both of you have travelled a long way to be here this morning, live in the studio. It's wonderful after all the Zoom stuff to actually have some faces here. Thank you, and well done promoting the need for foster carers, because the need is enormous, isn't it?
It is enormous, yeah. And Bruce, one last thing that I'm going to put out there. If people are out there in the community and they're thinking, I can be a foster carer, or maybe can I just take that step to find out more, that one step that you take now could impact the life of a child. One night can impact that child.
And you've seen that, Anna?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the info sessions, you know, you're not signing up there and then. Like, just come to the info session to find out
more. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you, Tania. Thank you, Anna.